Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion that we shall have together on a very important issue that we'll talk about in a moment. Let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. There are many people today that make the determination on how to handle an issue or a problem or difficulty based on a psychologist, a psychiatrist, or some how-to book. In fact, I find it fascinating, ladies and gentlemen, so many books written today on the subject of how-to. In fact, a number of years ago, I was kind of taken aback with one that was titled How to Be Happy Though Married. And I find it fascinating that people write books like that and people will read those books. That's all right to a degree. But if you're going to place your confidence and trust in a book that someone's written rather than the book of all books, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, then there's a problem. I suggest that you study the book, the Bible. God has given us the Word of God as a guidebook. It should be that directive for our lives. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus made a declaratory statement when he said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we look to the Word of God, we'll never go wrong for directions in truth. It is not a source book for truth. It is a source book of truth. It is the totality of the written, revealed Word of God. From Genesis through Revelation, God has given us his guidebook for our life. Ladies and gentlemen, subject we want to deal with today, and I would love to have you participate. It'd be a delight of mine to see you join in the dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you disagree, and I've had those that disagreed on this subject. That's all right. We're going to be talking about a drugged nation. A drugged nation. We're talking about the legalization of pot, the legalization of marijuana on a state-by-state basis across the nation. It is right now rampant across the nation in a large number of our states that have institutionalized it and made it legal. Started out with medical marijuana, and then they elevated it to or expanded it to recreational marijuana. In fact, here in the state of Florida, as you know, just a couple of years back, in fact, it was November 2016, that a referendum was passed in the state of Florida. 71% of the citizens voted yes on the question on the ballot, should we legalize medical marijuana? Well, that was done. And then the enabling legislation took a couple of years to finally get it all done. And then just last year, we had that go rampant across the state of Florida. And then with the recent changes to modify the enabling legislation that allows medical marijuana to literally become today recreational marijuana. Why do I say that? Because it's been authorized in the state of Florida. You can ingest the medical marijuana by puffing, that is smoking medical marijuana. That is no less than recreational marijuana. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just start us off by saying, and I don't know if you noticed or not, but on the morning news, and I don't know which channel, one of the local channels, while watching the morning news, one of the breaking news stories caught my immediate attention. In fact, the news anchor at the desk gleefully announced the opening of yet another pot shop, drug shop, in the state of Florida, in Jacksonville. Now, just how many other new businesses, listen to this, how many other new businesses open in Jacksonville each day? mom-and-pop shops, mom-and-pop stores, candy stores, hairdressing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You could go infinitum chasing that rabbit. But how many new stores and new operations open each day, and it goes unannounced, unnoticed by the media, and yet a new pot shop opens, and all of a sudden it's top priority news on the early morning news. And a world of chaos and confusion and child endangerment, the media has to tell us in Jacksonville that now we have yet another pot poison child destroying shop in our city. I am absolutely amazed by it. In fact, supposedly these pot shops are only selling medical marijuana. But ladies and gentlemen, I have a file folder full of documents, evidence, stories, life experiences across the nation that will validate and verify that the medical marijuana is actually a farce. It is the farthest thing from the truth. It is an endangerment of the kids in our nation and in our city and in the state of Florida. It is an endangerment for the teenagers. It's an endangerment for adults, and we'll talk about that throughout this broadcast today. But let me remind you, if you want to join in this dialogue and discussion, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you're listening and you disagree with what I'm saying. Wonderful. Call me and tell me why. Validate your point. Prove your issue. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a serious declension in America. When state after state, there's a movement to authorize the sale and or use of a hallucinatory drug that will destroy the mind, destroy the heart, and destroy the families, and destroy lives in our state, in our city, and across America. But ladies and gentlemen, supposedly these drug shops are only selling, as I said a moment ago, the medical marijuana. But medical marijuana today can be ingested by gummy bears, cookies, candy bars, and literally dozens of other products that's laced with the life-altering drug. And today's medical marijuana can be inhaled, and yet it is called medical marijuana. It's simply a fraud being perpetrated on society. And ladies and gentlemen, across our nation today, we have state after state and city after city that's opening up stands on the street corners or shops on the streets where you can go in and get free needles and a special site set up, injection sites they're calling them, to inject oneself with high potency life-altering, death-assured drugs into their systems. Yet these same states will arrest a person for drinking and driving. I don't know about you, but it's antithetical to me that you can say that drinking and driving is wrong because you might harm someone, and yet you are allowed to shoot up on the street corner and the needles be paid for by taxpayers' dollars. Ladies and gentlemen, recreational marijuana, that is pot, in Jacksonville, Florida now has pot shops all over our city. Some of them are located close to schools and churches, and I find it antithetical to anything that's called sanity. It's bad enough to have the shops in the city, but then have them almost adjacent to schools in our city. What's our city councilman thinking of? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I've discussed this with city council members. I've discussed this with some of our representatives and some of our senators in Tallahassee. And I'm told authentically that the city of Jacksonville had at one time some say-so as to where these shops could be located by setting up and institutionalizing the codes and the requirements as to where they could be located and how many we would have and what's the maximum number. We have, I believe, foreclosed that opportunity and responsibility. We have abrogated our responsibility as citizens in our city because we've allowed the city council to simply not to follow what could have been best for our city. As a culture where all states are advocating for the control of opioids, and state after state and the federal governments included, spending billions of dollars to treat the addiction. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, most states are passing laws and approving sales of medical marijuana, or marijuana in general, recreational marijuana, without any regard to the harm or the danger or the damage to families and lives, even death, in multiple numbers of teenagers and adults across America. Yes, even in Colorado. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, some of the latest statistical data, shock your socks off, it did mine. Some of the latest statistical data shows that in Colorado, over $1.5 billion, over $1.5 billion in annual sales a pot. And last year, they collected over $250 million in tax revenue from the sale of the life-altering, death-defying drug called marijuana. Yet these same states, in fact, I'm speaking specifically now of Colorado, $1.5 billion in pot sales, $250 million in tax revenue, and for each $1, they collected in taxes, the state of Colorado spent $4.50 in social services to help and to assist families and to help with the rehab, great rehab rehabilitation need for those that have become drug addicts in the state of Colorado. Every level, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, every level in the state of Colorado, every level of crime has increased majorly since January 1st of 2013 when Colorado started selling pot. Some of those crimes, listen to the statistical data, ladies and gentlemen, rape, robberies, foreclosures. You say, well, why foreclosures? Because moms and dads spending the money on pot, not paying for the rent, not paying for the house payment, therefore they're dispossessed. Foreclosures, home invasions, domestic abuse, teen suicide, teen deaths by overdose are in all areas in the state of Colorado. Frightening, and there are facts in the state of Colorado in particular and in other states across the nation that have allowed this to take place in their states. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Ponder for a moment. If in the state of Florida, the pot bill was passed by 71% of the voters, that means that some of you that are listening today voted yes on that referendum. It would have been impossible for that referendum to pass in the state of Florida by 71% were it not for so-called professing Christians saying yes. And I've listened to all your arguments. I've listened to all your debates. I've listened to all your, what about issues? And in many of the occasions, the argument is, well, marijuana doesn't hurt you. Marijuana is helpful. Marijuana and the material within the marijuana plant itself can be have a healing agent in it. Listen very carefully as we further in this broadcast today, some of the statistical data, some of the factual information in relationship to the ultimate harm that's taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, while the pot industry and the pot doctors, along with the pot-pushing sleazy attorneys, would have you to believe that legalized marijuana is all okay and it's harmless, I want us to look at some of the frightening social, psychological, medical facts about the use of marijuana. Now, perhaps you're saying, well, why are you picking on marijuana? Why are you talking about that? When, after all, across the nation, we have an opioid crisis. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been proven and proven and proven, though you've not heard it on the news, you've not heard it on the fake media, you've not heard it from any of the politicians, that marijuana is, in fact, the de facto gateway for all other drugs, including fentanyl, heroin, all other drugs that are now considered dangerous, i.e. the opioid crisis, the gateway to that is nothing but marijuana. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. The title of the article says, more Coloradans died last year from drug overdose than any year in the state's history. And it goes on to talk about Colorado drug deaths almost certainly were the worst in the state's history last year as the opioid epidemic morphed into a broader overdose crisis. Deaths from methamphetamine exploded what has been seen as a hopeful downturn in deaths from the opioid painkillers reversed. Deaths from heroin and cocaine remained well above where they were just 2 years ago. You must ask the question, why? And it's because of the legalization. In fact, in the state of Colorado, all crime has increased. This is a combined number of all crime, 546%. This article further says, altogether, drug overdoses possibly killed more people last year than car crashes in the state of Colorado. You heard that? Altogether, drug overdoses probably killed more people last year than car crashes in Colorado. I find it antithetical to anything that's called sanity. You heard the old statement, sanity. What is being insane? What is sanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting to get a different result. if state after state after state were finding the declension and the death rate increased exponentially and the crime increased exponentially, the cost of the taxpayers exponentially increased, and we think somehow, some way, a different law in a different state is going to change that? Ladies and gentlemen, what does marijuana do? We're talking about now the threshold drug that is raging and ravaging Americans today. I'm calling it a drugged nation. And I understand and recognize, and perhaps you have heard me say before on this subject, that according to Revelation chapter 18 and verse 23, in the last days, during the days of the tribulation, the last days before God wraps up this whole universe, there will be a world that is nothing but a pharmakeia, a world of drugs. By their drugs, sorceries, pharmakeia, were all nations deceived, the scripture says. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we're finding that deception a pervasive deception. It's a demonic deception that's now killing Americans. In fact, more so than automobile crashes in the states where this is, the drugs are legal. And yet we have, with the opioid crisis, supposedly 76,000 people per year dying, and we want to do something about it. And at the same time, we're saying we're going to cure the opioid crisis by throwing money at it. We're opening Pandora's box by legalizing marijuana, recreational and medical marijuana, across the nation. What can marijuana do? The frightening social and psychological and medical facts about the use of marijuana are unequivocal and undeniable by those that will face the reality and look at the stats of what has happened. It can cause heart attacks. Marijuana can cause high blood pressure. It will cause lung disease. It will cause schizophrenia and ultimately suicide. It causes slow response and reflexes that you can't drive safely or respond in a prompt fashion. It produces laziness. It produces an inability to work. It produces increased traffic accidents. It produces an inability to think, to learn, and to carry out a proper task as a human being in society. It produces teen deaths by overdose. Let's just look at some of the statistical data on this. Here's an article. Title of the article, Pot Death, Teen, that's T-E-E-N, teen leaps four stories after eating a marijuana cookie. A teenager in Colorado died after consuming an entire marijuana cookie that contained six servings of marijuana's active ingredients, THC, according to the new report. The 19-year-old man had received a marijuana cookie from his friend, a 23-year-old who had bought the product from the store. Over the next few hours, the man showed erratic speech and hostile behavior, the report said. About 2.5 hours after he ate the whole cookie, he jumped off a balcony of a fourth floor of his building and died from trauma from the fall. Officials determined that marijuana intoxication was the chief contributing factor to that man's death, end quote. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. Woman who clawed her own eyes out reveals the reason. A young woman who clawed her own eyes out while high on drugs is speaking out for the first time since her horrifying story was made headlines across the nation. Kaylee Meth, 20 years old, of Anderson, South Carolina, told her story to Cosmopolitan in a piece entitled, "I'm the Girl Who Clawed My Own Eyes Out. This is my story." And she goes on to talk about how, "I convinced myself that meth would bring me even closer to God. So after Thanksgiving, when I was feeling particularly lonely, I smoked meth with a friend. Within 2 months, she became hooked. I progressed to snorting it, then shooting it up. I could find myself with friends," according to the article. "She'd found a rehab facility for me," talking about her mother, "and I agreed to go with her the following week. I later learned that she had recorded my conversation, during which I said I didn't want to be in the world because it was too evil. The report, she felt she needed to get a court order to commit me." And it goes on to talk about what had happened. Ultimately, she clawed her eyes out. The article says she was holding both eyeballs in her hands when she was found, and she had squished them in her hands, although they were somewhat still intact to her head. She stated, and the article here says, she was allowed to go home March the 2nd after spending 2 weeks in the hospital. She is now completely, totally blind, clawing her eyes out on drugs. You say, well, perhaps it was not even marijuana, but marijuana opened the gateway. It was the gateway that got her into methamphetamines and cocaine and heroin and the harder drugs and the fentanyl. ladies and gentlemen, there are multiple deaths every day across America as a result of it. Here's an article that's simply a physician's article in relationship to side effects of marijuana. And I'll just skip the breadth and the depth and go to just the bullet points, if you will. It alters your senses. It causes disorientation or dizziness, causes slow reaction to time, impaired body movement, causes short-term memory loss, causes drowsiness or sleepiness, induces paranoia and anxiety, psychosis and other mental health problems, lung diseases, and can cause suicide. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know any way to place it any clearer than that in relationship to what we're talking about. Perhaps you say, well, why should that be a concern of Christians? It's because, ladies and gentlemen, Christian homes and Christian families, those moms and dads that have brought their sons and daughters up in churches and led them to faith in Christ, being led down primrose path today that leads to ultimate destruction and deterioration of anything that's called life and living and anything that's called a quality of life as a result of marijuana. Let's examine, ladies and gentlemen, just a few, as I call it, a few of the stories in relationship to lives that have been ruined, families that have been decimated. Here's one, ladies and gentlemen, simply entitled Shane's Story. Shane's Story. This article written by the mother. Shane was my firstborn son who grew into a handsome 6'4" young man. He always seemed larger than life, and he had a big heart, infectious smile, and zest for life. He excelled in sports, especially water sports, from a very young age. Shane was a very normal, healthy teen and even weathered a back injury and surgery while he made high school team sports no longer possible. He transferred to his athletic skills to being a wakeboarder. When Shane moved away from home at the age of 19, he began using recreational marijuana, unknown to his family. At age 22, Shane endured a prolonged physical rehabilitation to his knee following a serious boating accident. It was later realized that Shane had increased his use of medical marijuana as he was intolerant to the prescription pain medications. Shane was determined to proceed with his wedding to his long-term girlfriend, and a beautiful event was held on campus at the Cal Lutheran University, August 8th of 2010. 2 months from his magical day at the age of 23, Shane suffered a sudden, unforeseen, abrupt change in the reality. Shane's parents found him in the middle of the night after his bride called 911 on his increasingly bizarre behavior. Shane admitted to having smoked pot but tried to reassure us, "Don't worry, it's just a harmless herb," though he was suffering visual and auditory hallucinations, asking us if we saw the bombed-out buildings around him. I knew my own son's 23-year-old's normal behavior, healthy behavior. This drug was anything but harmless. Shane was hospitalized in a lockup psych unit, massively drugged and tested, and admitted to just one substance, THC. His use of marijuana was ignored by the psychologist and its entire faculty. Shane was diagnosed with psychosis. In spite of his extensive scientific literature Shane's mother found online about psychosis and marijuana, the outpatient psychiatrist denied her suggestion that Shane be sent to a drug rehab. "Your son's not some drug addict. He just smokes pot," the psychologist said. Shane ultimately regained his normal mental health. However, after 18 months, he suffered a second psychotic breakdown and admitted he had returned to using marijuana. Shane was rehospitalized at a different psych facility again. The correlation between his marijuana use and the altered reality was ignored by the psychologist once again. Upon release, his young life crumbled personally and professionally. Shane moved away to start anew. Once psychosis abated, but he died by suicide 7 months later while in a marijuana cessation. Shane's goodbye note included love to his family and the haunting words, quote, "There's nothing anyone can do to save me. My choices led me to this point. I can't go anymore," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a horrific story. I don't know about you, but it's heartbreaking, heart-wrenching to realize that we have legalized something that is out there on the streets and the city of Jacksonville, our own city. We have pot shops on just about every street corner. I don't see any stand-up of the Christians in our community. I don't see any stand-up of any pastors in the pulpits condemning this horrible declension in our city. I don't see anyone standing on the platform any place in City Square or on any microphone any place condemning what our legislators are doing, both state, national, and local. I don't see anybody condemning or saying anything in relationship to electing city council members and electing mayors, electing those leaders in our city that will stand with Christians and say, enough's enough. We'll not destroy the moral warp and woof of our society. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says the tragic stories reveal the true dangers of marijuana use. In this country, this article says, in this country at this time, there are millions of people who don't want to think that marijuana is harmful. This group includes adult marijuana users, teens, and young adults who use the drug. They think that they will probably use it or see nothing wrong with it, and those who profit from the sales of the drugs are one that's pushing it. Marijuana is rapidly becoming a big business, and there are many investors and entrepreneurs poised to reap the big profits. The problem is there's plenty of evidence that this drug can be intensely harmful. Let me just read you some of the narratives about those that have found the end result. This one says Chris's story. Chris was an outstanding student in high school, valedictorian, president of the student council, and a winner of multiple awards. He was a fearless and active outdoorsman until he began to smoke marijuana with his friends when he came home from college. He began to experience panic attacks, which were the leading edge of the decline, or the decline into schizophrenia. Within 2 years, he was being hospitalized and medicated, which did not help. This thoughtful, intelligent child turned into someone paranoid and incoherent. When he was 28 years old, he took his own life. Here's one called Andy's story. Andy, this young man, was a bright bright spot among his friends and family members because he loved to make others laugh. But marijuana use replaced his brightness with suicidal thoughts and repeated treatments in mental health facilities. He told his family that he had quit using marijuana if he was to live, but he couldn't do it. At the age of 31, he hanged himself. His suicide note said, "I want to die. My soul is already dead. Marijuana killed my soul, ruined my brain." His mother found a medical marijuana card in his pocket. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on. Here's one that says, "My son's journey from being an accomplished scholar, an athlete, to psychosis, addiction, and jail, and now living on the streets." And it's an elongated story, but it tells the story of the son of these parents. Brilliant young man that went from one declension to the next declension to the next declension, in and out of jail, and finally on the streets as a result of marijuana. Ladies and gentlemen, we are killing our kids. We're killing Americans with state and federal government knowledge, approval, and legalization. Yet every state now has some kind of law that proposed bill that would somehow, some way prevent opioids and the 76,000 deaths per year. Yet marijuana is the gateway drug that leads to all other drugs, including fentanyl, cocaine, and heroin. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand there's a need that we stand up, speak up. Where are the pastors? Where are the Christians? Where are the ones in our city, in our society, in our nation that's going to stand and say enough is enough? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we recognize we're legalizing the murder of our children, our grandchildren, and we're devastating and destroying our families. Enough is enough. We need to stand up, speak up, be salt and light. Don't be afraid somebody's going to condemn you because you say, "I'm against the use of marijuana and the sale thereof." Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9. for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.